What I want to do is talk for about a minute just to tell you what this meeting is for so that we understand pretty well what it is supposed to do and what it isn't supposed to do. As you know, quite a few months ago, we authorized about $1,500 to be spent to look into alternatives for how we can take care of the growth that we've had in Prairie Society in the last few years, in which we anticipate will continue. The Long Range Planning Committee has been working very, very diligently and have come to the point now where we've hired an architect to give us some ideas of what we might do on paper. So far, it's only on paper. What we're to do today is see what the architect has put down. Now, he's not just working from his own head. He's working from a list of instructions that we gave him. The Long Range Planning Committee, I believe, gave him a list of about a dozen criteria that we have as a society. And these didn't just come out of their heads either. They came out from the various committees and from individuals in Prairie. So we have a culmination right now today of one of the five, I guess, one of the five main steps that we're going to go through if we do decide indeed to remodel our building. We haven't decided that yet, and I want to make that completely clear that we haven't decided that as yet, and that every person in this society will be heard, will have a chance to be heard, and we hope that you will take the opportunity to study these plans carefully and say anything that you think needs saying, because this is our society, it's not one person's society. I think with that, I'll turn it over to our Long Range Planning Chair, Jack Jones.
Okay. Somebody earlier, about an hour and a half ago, said, how long is this meeting going to last? And I said, well, you know, it's a Unitarian meeting. And he said, oh, my God. my concept of being chair of a committee is, I think, somewhat different than a good many others. My concept is that a chair is primarily a facilitator and not the one who just carries things through. In fact, my own unabashed opinion is that if a chair has to do it himself or herself, then a good job is not being done. In this case, we have individuals on our Long Range Planning Committee that are very independent, very forthright, and certainly are not backward in their opinion. And I'm very happy that we have it that way, because that's the only way we're really going to get anywhere. The committee, by the way, consists of Al Nelson, Tom Robinson, Barb Park,
Rachel.
Yeah. And Dorothy. Okay. Just to back up for a moment, we're going to be repeating things, but I don't believe that is going to do any harm. In fact, the more repeating of some things we do, the more we're going to understand. You remember last November 23rd to be exact, the resolution drawn up by the Long Range Planning Committee was approved, which called for looking into remodeling the building. And since then, the board, as Mary said, approved a $1,500 architect fee, et cetera, up to that time. We set up in the beginning two basic things. One was a criteria list that was made up really beginning a year and a half ago and refined in the last few months. The other was dividing our action into what we call five phases or five stages. The first stage was that of exploring the program that we have in our building and the use to which we put our space. We did a lot of that. The second stage is the design development, which is what we're going to be discussing today. The draft plan based upon the criteria that we've given the architect, Ed Thorne, and discussion on it. Then there will be three other phases following. It doesn't mean that we will go through all three phases, but if we do, they will be as follows. The construction development, which is refining the draft plan more specifically so that it can be costed out more specifically than at present of necessity. The next stage after that would be bidding and negotiation with construction people and those who are actually going to build the building if we decide to do so. And then finally, the construction itself. If you remember, backing up a bit, we figured that we would need a building committee, and it was decided by the parish at the April 26th meeting, or I guess it was the board, and the parish approved it, not to have a building committee at that point, but wait until we got to that point. And so at that time, if we do it, there will be a proposal that a building committee be set up to work with the architect, the builder, and so on. Let me repeat again what Mary said, that it is not decided, it has not been decided that we will or will not build, but until we find out what it would consist of and how much it would cost, as we said almost a year ago, we will not be able to decide until we do that. That's what we're in the process of doing. At the moment, before we go any further in introducing the architect, if anybody on the committee wants to add, and I'm sure they probably do, which would be good. And, oh, by the way, Rick was on the committee too, because he was at every meeting and very much participating in it. So, Rick.
I just want to say that, as most of you are aware, we did have a process for selecting an architect.
Yeah, right. Would you want to elaborate? Go ahead, Rick.
Well, we did make mailings. We sort of selected, given some criterion by the Wisconsin Society of Architects, who we might solicit, and sent out 9 letters, I think, and we got 10 responses from architects that were interested or not. They had some responded saying they weren't interested, but of architects that we thought might be appropriate for this size project and with the background design that we were looking for, which was church and or small business kind of thing rather than home remodelings or things like that. And we interviewed, we walked through the building about 5 architects and architectural firms, and they saw generally what we were talking about, and then we interviewed the 4 that were interested in continuing at that point, and we selected Mr. Solner from that interview process. So.
Thank you, Rick. That's a very important part of having gotten up to here. Any other comments by committee members specifically? Okay, now you'll find on the seat a very small letter-sized copy, which Mr. Solner very nicely has xeroxed, I presume, or reproduced at any rate, so that you can see what we're talking about with the full thing. It may be that we're going to have to turn this over while you talk. Okay, Ed Solner, the architect, if you will.
Thank you, Jack. I wasn't the one that asked Jack how long the meeting would ask, but the last one. I'd like to share a little story with you that I've been speaking before church groups and building committees and commissions and councils for over 30 years. And last Thursday night, I had the opportunity of representing myself at the Board of Appeals at the Dane County Illustrious Appeals Committee. And after waiting for 2.5 hours through all the time up there, I thought I'd be very careful in getting up and saying what I had to say and being very much to the point. And my appeal centered on the fact that I wanted to build a 2-car garage, 1-story, and I wanted to save a shag bark hickory that was sitting within the right-of-way area. So in my very comforting, quiet sense, I went up there and I said to the commission, I'd like to build a 2-story, 1-car garage. I say that so that if there's anything that I say that you don't understand, please ask. The building committee has been very open, very direct, very positive in their requirements to benefit all of you. There has been nothing said that is a, I want this or I want that type of thing. It's been what can be best for the society. And because of that, we have a general outline of things today that is basically that. It's an outline. It's an outline on paper, trying to reflect what the pattern of budget and needs and aesthetics are all about. And with that, I wish to say that what you have in your hands and what's behind me might be best illustrated by just, in a sense, walking through this building mentally and saying what's happening. And as you sit here, I'll just try to say where we're going with what we're trying to identify with. We all recognize the problem with the handicap through the front entryway. There are many stairs there, and it's very difficult for anybody to come through the doors to get to the meeting room that we have here, as well as the toilets and the like. With that in mind, we were looking at some way of resolving that particular problem. There, in conjunction with that, is a grade problem between the present entryway and the street that we have that is easterly, or to the east that we have at the present time. So we looked at the problem of trying to get that resolved in some way. A second concern is the RE program. How do we resolve that with the expanding of the programming and come up with an answer that works best there? Thirdly, the fellowship programming. How do we best relate that in a way that makes it worthwhile and logical? And also, from a working standpoint, what can we do with toilets and the like to make them a little bit more practical and a little bit more usable? So those are some of the thoughts that we had to work with, and also a budget of about $50,000 that we looked at as saying would be our targeted goal to see what we can do for that pattern. So what we identified with was basically saying, let's solve the kitchen problem first. And if I can just relate to that for a while, where the quilt now stands behind you, we're looking at putting in a pass-through at that point. And that pass-through would then serve as an access to this room for the food distribution and more fellowship directed right in here. But we can't do that unless the toilets are moved. So with that in mind, we're saying let's pull the toilets out and hold them up in space someplace and remodel that area into a kitchen area. So that was what we looked at here of saying for the width of the toilets and for the length of the toilets, we'll clean up, gut out, and renovate that area for a nice, workable, usable kitchen. So that was one solution. Then what to do with the toilets? That said, we had to comply with the state requirements for, again, the handicap facility and the needs that we need for the capacity that you have within the building. But before we looked at solving the location of that, we said to ourselves, we've got to solve the handicap problem to some degree. So with that in mind, as we made some studies, the most logical thing with the shape of the land, the way the land is sloping, the accessibility to the land, and the fact too that when you do any remodeling, you're going to be involved with having to provide some parking on site. So we're looking at having to take some of your nice green area and convert that into a blacktop area of some sort to make that workable for the code requirements that are required. With that in mind, you also have to provide a handicap stall in that parking area. So we direct the parking to the area that we now would recognize as being the most viable area, which would be to the west and probably to the south. Then a handicap stall at that southwest corner would be a logical thing to have. And if you have a handicap stall somewhere in that general area, then a handicap access, in lieu of going past the south and coming around to the east, would seem to be more logical to do something as close as we possibly can, and that would be directly south. So the intent here was to look at a southerly axis, and the grade works out fine for that pattern, that we don't have any stairs to contend with in that respect. And as we work out toward looking at the south exposure, it does provide us with still access to the street that we have at the present location. We've removed the stairs that we now have. And that entrance would then be open and give us a little bit more of a pleasantness of entry. Solar orientation, southern exposure, I think we can do nicely with just the pleasantness of coming to a church on that southern exposure. So by having the kitchen where it's located, having the south entrance being identified, the toilets seem to be logical to be provided over to the east. So where your porch now is, we're saying that would be the location of our toilets. We provide them at a level for that purpose. And in doing all of this, we're saying let's raise all of the floor in the toilet area at present, which will be kitchen and the entryway and the future toilet area, to be level to the floor that we're on now. So that way we have a one level situation that we can identify for this particular area. In addition, we looked at having the space for an office area, another meeting room, conference area, and having that been done. And that worked out fairly logically. To the south, we'd have an airlock that would identify taking care of the temperate conditions of both summer and winter, for that matter. So that was the resolution of what we identified with for this main or floor level. And that's nothing more than we talked about with the presentation we have right here, and what you have in your hands. This would be our new entryway to the south with the vestibule. To the left would be an office area.
And
to the right,
I wonder if you indicate what the directions are, so I don't think everybody knows.
Okay, the south area is directly to the backside of where you're sitting right now, right behind you. And the easterly direction is, of course, to your right, and west to your left.
Why don't you explain the
orientation-wise, from the drawing-wise, I'd say that if you were to take the drawing and possibly looking at it from the standpoint of where we're at right now, if you turn it so that you have a profile with the black square at the right-hand side.
That's north, up.
The north would be up then. Mm-hmm. So then from a plan that we have in front of us that we're entering off the entryway, which in this case is showing to my left, we come into the lobby area, which is now still your same entryway here. We'll expand on that a little bit and provide some coat storage within that area.
Why don't you explain the dotted line?
Okay, the red dotted line that we see here is the limit of the existing profile of that construction that encompasses the toilets and the present lobby area, the area that we have on the outside. So what we're expanding on is that we're going to take your present entryway and your porch, and your porch, by the way, does end in line about where this first heavy dark line comes to play. I'm sorry if I'm blocking people out here. The first heavy dark line from here, we'll be building 9 feet to the east with our construction, and that'll be for the toilet wall itself. To the south, we'll be building approximately 7 feet to encompass then the vestibule and part of the office area, and possibly a planter on the side there. I say the planter to open up the corner and get a little bit more greenery, and today seems to be a perfect day for flowers, and it'd be a nice place to have had reason to plant all of those. That'd be quite meaningful. So that is the culmination of what we're trying to do for the main level. For the lower level, the concern that we had there was how do we provide for more classroom space and providing an RE office and possibly one small toilet down there, plus some janitorial service. So with that in mind, we looked at the removal of the kitchen from down below there, which would give us then one nice large classroom. And with that removal, the small room that we have next to it, we looked at that as being an RE office. And off of that RE office, we provide for a stool and a sink to have a small toilet for the kids to use there. And then within that storage space, which is the room underneath the porch, we'd have still room there to provide ourselves with a slop sink or a janitorial sink to make good over there. In addition to that, we're talking about the opposite side of the kitchen wall, within the large classroom space, of providing more of a kitchenette unit, which will have an under-counter refrigerator or maybe a full-height refrigerator, depending on what the committee and you people would like to have, a small stove and a sink. And that'll be open to the large area here, so we can still continue with your functions of that location. I would say that one thing that we should be looking at, too, and that would be the folding doors you now have down below, are in violation in their present condition of being code conforming. There is a need to have a swinging door or an accessible door to go from any enclosed space to a passage area. And with that in mind, it would be logical, for example, either here, or maybe more so on the outside wall line, to have a swinging door whereby we might move that partition out a little bit further and have the accessibility there. Because the code does not recognize the accordion type door when it's closed to have access out of that in a normal way. So I think we accommodated that. That would be one of the goals that we should probably identify with. And that we had as part of the overall cost consideration. As to what the building would look like, I haven't shared this with the building committee yet because they gave me the task, and as I scratched through a few things, I was finding solutions in two different ways. And I said, well, I'll present this today and want to take this back to the committee and have the committee take a look at what we're trying to identify with. The top picture here is basically putting into, quote, a prairie-style architecture. More of a hip roof a profile whereby we're in keeping with a little bit more of the low-profile character that we addressed in that respect. However, the architecture, in a sense, also lends itself to an international flavor. And being that you're international in nature, I thought that'd be the other side of the coin to look at. And so that is why this presentation here, basically all white stucco and glass and that type of thing. This would lend itself a little bit more conveniently, probably putting some skylights into the new lobby area and having a little more daylight in there, which might be enjoyable. This can be workable too, but it might be a little bit more expensive to do that, but these are some of the balances that we look at. So I think...
This is one question. That's not a flat roof by any chance?
When we speak of a flat roof, no, it would not be a dead flat roof. There would be a pitch on it to get the water off the roof, the logical pitch to where the...
Or it's only half now, it's flat.
It's flat now.
This is flat now.
Yeah.
I am going through the process of renovating my home to get a pitch on there for the flat roof, and I thought architecture was the proper thing to do 30 years ago, so I went to it, so... So anyway, these are two solutions that I think we might be looking at as a possible direction for what may be, and I think just a matter of analyzing either one of them and taking a little closer look at the architecture and the aesthetics and the planning and so on with that. So with that, I'll just go through the cost projections that we had talked about here so that you understand a little bit more fully, and then I'll be quiet and turn it back to Jack again.
Yes. Can you explain just a little more where the parking would be located?
Yes. Okay. Right now, I'm saying probably to that side of the building right now.
Can you show it on that right map?
Well, okay. If this is the entryway here, our present street that we are entering from is here with our main stairs coming to the porch area, sort of coming through here. This is the other street line that we're talking about. You had your morning service back here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're talking about parking possibly up in this area here. Mm-hmm.
How many spaces do you have in the yard?
Well, we're looking right now, and that depends on how we want to label the capacity of this room, because that's what the code provides. And we're looking at about 10, maybe 12 cars parking will get us. So you're looking at a good share of...
There is a curb line.
Yes, yes. That was the factor why we put it there, to say that is going to be something that the city is going to be looking at the space.
It wouldn't be coming into the, where the, I don't know how to say that, the best, cutout is.
Okay, the best answer to your question about this, we're getting a survey done to see where the building fits the property. And once we have that, we'll better understand what's happening with the overall placement and location for it.
But you can have sort of a walkway in or a hard surface from the parking lot to the entryway.
Yes, yes. As well as there can be a walkway from the new entryway to the street, whether it goes straight out or angles off onto the side, as well as going to the side, which is your front entryway.
You haven't mentioned this, but it seems to me that we're simply talking about approximates here, because before we could actually get the go-ahead, we'd have to notify people in the neighborhood, right? And they would have to...
Well, if you're looking at an appeal situation again, and I might not be the one who's... If you're looking at an appeal situation, that would be one of the things that you can certainly present yourself to the city on, saying we would like to not put parking in here because... And that's your right. You have to have that privilege.
So the next door, there's a residence right next to this property line, and they might very well not protest the parking lot right there and want it.
They will probably get people in a 300-foot radius of this property, so they might take in a number of people around here to be a consideration for them.
Yeah, but I think, and also in answering Pat's question, it's important to note that the code would require us foot parking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. But I was going to say, we're just talking about the approximate area of parking, because I think that would have to go out and somebody could appeal that, and so it might have to be closer to the building than way over.
Well, not so much close to the building, but as long as it's on your property, that's all the city and the code is seeing. Yeah. So many cars on the property per se. Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm wanting to know about. I'm bringing this up today. What is this code? And why are we having to comply with having to put a parking lot in? Why haven't we had to put a parking lot in already? How does 12 spaces relate to 90 people being?
Well, it's a funny code profile or formula. They're saying primarily that you need for every 6 people in a seat or in the room here. You need one car.
Particularly for churches or what?
For churches. In office buildings, there's another clarification. In schools, there's another clarification. So each one has their own clarification for, quote, off-street parking. It's part of the life of the Yes, ma'am.
Did I understand you say correctly that the parking area went in any place, that there would have to be a walkway separate and distinct from the, all the sidewalk that's already in place to accommodate handicapped people?
No, if there's one in place now, we can use that if it meets the grade and the terrain that we're talking about at this point. So keep in mind now, we're gonna raise this floor level up here somewhat.
Aye.
So we're gonna have to accommodate that with the logical slope that'll be there without putting in any stairway. So whatever modification we make to the sidewalk would be probably from the new addition as we're proposing here to the old.
And it couldn't modify the city sidewalk as opposed to us putting in another walkway?
I wish you luck.
How many square feet does the parking lot for Kim Carr be?
Approximately 6,000 square feet.
It's a good question for you.
Yeah. That'd be an area of about 100 by 60 if you want to look at a profile for it.
Pretty much the whole back there.
Yeah, 6,000. But I'm saying that's one area. It doesn't have to be in the retaining portion. We can, if there's a reason to have another drive in here or turn around, we can probably do something with the elongating that or breaking it up in pieces to make it work or working around the building somehow. But we really can't answer the parking question until we get the site plan and relate that to the building and see what we have to do. And then get to the city and kind of hammer away at them and say, look, we have not had parking for all this time. What can we do to minimize the temporary parking? They may be
your experience, if we're able to provide a part of it, we're more likely to get a waiver on the rest of it?
Not unless you... Every committee is different. So you're going before a committee and ask them their feelings and their attitudes and have a good argument for why you want to do what you want to do. And they're probably going to back you and say you're no different than everybody else and eventually you have to comply with it. If we can go ahead and be that adamant about having no parking, the neighbors say we don't have a problem here, I think it's going to be a matter of just the city hopefully saying with the feelings of everybody, maybe there might be no pay for that. Things change by the day, by the week, by the year. It's just a matter of...
And isn't part of what you're doing here, including the parking, on the presumption that the membership is over 100? 100 or over?
No, I'm looking at, we talked about roughly 72 or 75, but we have then the youngsters considered too. Because of that, we are then over 100, but that doesn't have the bearing on the budget. The parking is just that 6 people per area per car. Yes, ma'am.
Is it only because we're going beyond the existing confines of the building that we have to do the parking?
No, the minute you would apply for any construction on the property.
Any remodeling?
Very possibly.
Probably.
Because you're going in for a permit, and that's where the controls come in, the minute you apply for a permit. Yes, sir.
And one of the objectives, as I understand it, is to provide for the growth of the society. And to that extent, if there's a relationship between the size of the society and the number of parking spaces we have, does that mean that as the society grows, we're under some requirement to continue to enlarge our parking?
No, because again, it's a relationship to the amount of people per area per car. So if you have 2 services here on a Sunday, you tentatively are, in a sense, replacing that parking lot twice. So it's got a relationship to that. If you grow to a point where you want to expand one service to 200 people, then yes, you're going to have to acquire more land or do something or appeal or stack parking or go underground or something.
Well, is there any way of knowing rather precisely whether or not we can get away with only 10 or 12 parking?
Yes, we'll have, once we get our site plan and I have something to take to the city traffic engineering department and say, here's our building, here's our congregation, and here is what we would like to do, and that says nothing on the paper, they're going to say, wait a minute, you've got to do something else. And I'm going to have to pull out plan number 2 and say, here is what we think we have to do, is this all right? So we'll work that process.
Yeah, just to clarify, what you're saying is that it's really the dimensions of this room and the theoretical space within our main meeting space that determines the number of parking spaces that the code requires the church to have, not the number of people?
Well, we declare this room to have about 7 square feet per person. You sit in your chair here, you see you're taking about 2 feet by 3.5 feet, so that's about 7 square feet of people. So we look at the capacity of this room based on area, and that determines the number of people that we have in here. Or we can declare that we'll have only so many people in here. Mm-hmm. And so on that basis of declaration, we can then go ahead and say we only need so many cars.
Now, having declared that we'll only put 90 people in here, let's say, are they going to have a little sign on the door saying we can't have more than that in the room?
Yes, the sign will say you can't have more than 90 people in the room, but I think you've gone to places where you wondered, are there a list capacity or are we exceeding that?
It's like a quorum.
If it's a normal procedure of people being here that exceed the 90, then they're going to maybe raise the question, or some in the society say, I don't know why you let them have just 12 cars of parking in our lot here when I can't get a parking space there, and what's the ruling here? I want to complain about this. So then you get a situation, or a neighbor might say, they're housing more people in the church than what we thought they might be, so I'm going to file a complaint. And then you'll have a building inspector out here saying, you're going to have to do something about the parking.
Are you counting the stage area?
No.
Isn't the parking requirement determined on the basis of the current memberships at the time the building is made?
It's made on a square footage basis and or a declaration of what we say would be here.
So even if we only had 10 people here on an average Sunday morning?
We don't, Dar.
No, I'm not trying to pull that. I'm just trying to clarify this.
You can declare 10 people being here, and then on that basis, you need 2 cars of parking.
No, but what I'm saying is, if we could have this room be almost empty week after week, but that would be irrelevant to the number of parking spaces that the code would be requiring us to have.
You can declare, as I said, if we have 10 people here, then we say we need 2 cars based on 6 plus 4, so we need 2 cars to cover that accommodation.
I'd rather leave.
I was going to say, we have the statistics for attendance. We've just been keeping them. And so that would form the basis of your declaration, and that would be a reasonable basis, you know, because we were keeping them for other purposes. You know, but we're also talking about a declaration that would take into consideration the present and assuming we may get more.
I'd like to bring us back inside the building. We've got plenty of time to talk to parking, too. I was sort of surprised that the new foundation goes outside of this space. Did you just determine that our goals were too grand for the space that we had available in?
Pass that question.
Well, the new foundation is going to go out 7 feet and 9 feet, so that we're picking up a lot more space. Were our goals too grand to fit it into the existing space there?
Yes, you can't quite fit everything you're looking for, especially when it came to looking at the size of the kitchen. I think you're going to have 4 or 5 or 6 people working in the kitchen.
Yeah.
When you think of a home kitchen, it's very tight to accommodate that.
Right.
Secondly, when we talk about the toilets, as we talk about parking, that's based on capacity again. So the capacity of what you're going to be serving here has to be related to the toilets, and there's a formula for that also.
And I do have, I want to back up in spite of it, Rick, that on that parking. When we checked with Madison Traffic Engineering, 9, 10 months ago, their answer to parking was that so long we could remodel, but so long as we did not change the perimeter of the building, we were grandfathered in and would not have to have any parking facility. But that was if we did not add a second floor and if we did not enlarge the perimeter. And we would have been grandfathered in even if we had 150 people. But the moment we changed the perimeter, I was informed, then the grandfather clause is no longer applied. And we'd have to go on the garage and park.
Can you tell me how the size of the projected kitchen compares with the present kitchen down here?
I think it's a little, I'm not going to say little, it's a little wider probably by about 2 feet and probably shorter by about 4 feet. So in area, it's about the same size.
What are the dimensions of the kitchen?
I don't have that available with me right now. I would say roughly about 13 and a half by about 16, probably. Yes, sir.
Can I see area that is now the stage at the end of the room? Do those lines indicate a partition, or are they just
no,
the steps?
No, that's just
going
the steps I'm just showing you. Those are just the steps of the end of the room. Yes.
Is that
crawl space then, where the new foundation?
It can either be crawl space or fill, either one, depending on what would be more economical and what would be the need there. If it's crawl space, it'd be just open space on each area. If it was need to have that as storage space or some additional space, and then we're looking at deeper walls and going to build more cost again. So it's a matter of weighing, again, the program.
Be insulated.
Yeah, pardon?
Be insulated if it wasn't for the storage?
Yes, I think we would have to.
And would you, if you raise the floor level, would that also raise the ceiling level below?
No, we could be building on what we have down below. We can raise it, but there again, we're looking at a conservative value to say what would be the most economical thing to do in terms of getting our needs met and building as we see fit. And to answer the question here too, the track raise, we have a program we're looking at. And if you're looking at having more capacity in this space, as far as useful capacity or useful association rooms that are here, and providing toilets and doing the kitchen remodel, because now just think of what you have here. You have two toilets in here now, and you have the waiting area here, the vestibule area. If you now bring up a kitchen that's equal in size to what you have downstairs, and you're not going to expand the walls on the outside, something's got to give. And so we're going to be taking space away from this room probably to accommodate a kitchen or toilets. That will be the change order we're thinking about.
Ed, could we stay on the existing foundation with the front porch if we were to drop the office?
Not really, because we're going to have a long, narrow, maybe about a 4 foot wide entryway that comes from the outside to this room. Okay. I don't think we're going to find it being very compatible with these two.
One of the first things I noticed was the toilets when I looked at the schematic.
This was a doubt.
Yeah, and I don't know about the men's room, but the women's room currently has two stalls, and I assume the men's room is the same. Is the formula such that we only need one toilet for every 30?
There's two.
Upstairs there are two stools for women. Yeah, that's the downstairs kids' room that we're looking at. There are two stools here for the ladies, one handicap accommodation.
Oh, okay.
And for the men, there's one stool and the urinal, which would be the other.
Where are you getting coats?
We've got coats looked at in the corridor that would be outside of the toilet rooms, and we talked about having space for them at that location.
We spoke about this. In the southeast corner, there's an empty space that looks like it's going to have walls about it. It's east of the vestibule and south of the toilets.
That's
going to be about 9 by 7. What's that going to be?
We looked at that as just being a planter at this time because there wasn't any in
my. Is that outside or inside?
Yeah, outside. See how it cuts the corner?
Mm-hmm. It's the corner that we're relating to right here.
Show them on the schematic. On the
On the schematic would be the outside corner here. This is the present main entryway that you have at the present time going down to the street here. This will be the open corner that we're talking about, and this will be the new approach from the south end with stairs and pattern out from the street. Yes, sir.
On the east side of the lobby, there is what apparently a cloak area.
Yes.
We have larger cloak area in both the men's and the women's section than this one is for everybody. Would there be room for cloak area on the kitchen wall, the wall end?
Yes, there could be coats there. What we looked at here is about 70 coats that we're identifying with right now, unless everybody's wearing fur coats, so then you get a little bit larger space.
Well,
they
have children downstairs have their own coat place downstairs.
No, I know in the men's room, there's a small space.
Downstairs in the basement level, looking at the classrooms, the one which is going to be northeast, there are two small ones and a large one. Why are there two doors going into one classroom?
That's existing.
That's existing. We didn't do anything in the lower classroom area at all.
There's another.
Now, to answer that specifically, the one from the hallway was added by us.
Yeah, we added
because the other one only went into the area that was partitioned off. That's F on here.
We needed to have access to that classroom.
So you couldn't get into it when you were using the full partition.
So we added that.
Yes, sir.
And if there is, in fact, growth of the society, say 25% growth or something like that, where would we put them?
How can we stage.
Well, whatever. How can we expand the meeting room area, in other words, to accommodate growth?
Well, you know, you're looking at potential back here. You can't go behind me anymore. You're at the minimum condition that you have there. Other things that might be a little more expensive to do would be take roof off and put in a second balcony level probably, and do something more volume here that will accommodate that type of thing. But I think the cost effectiveness of that for 30 people maybe would be a very high value to place on.
We're out in front, is that, looks like there's a stairway right there, it looks like, so we can't go.
Well, yeah, that stairway would lend itself to getting up to the upper level through here, that again would be a balcony situation. And then again, the balcony couldn't be any more than a third of this floor level. Otherwise, you're considering this a two-story, then you get into other code requirements and other conditions and so on. Yes, ma'am.
What capacity seating are you considering when you are looking at this room at the present size?
Well, we didn't really come in here, but we talked about, I think, 72 people that we were accommodating here at one time.
Well, I'm just thinking that I don't think we usually have it full.
No.
And that I think we have had times when we have been able to get 90 people in here if we really needed to.
Which is a 25%
building.
It's like your home, when you have a party, you can certainly bring the whole family in and then some to make it work.
One other thing is the potential exists for removing the stage in the office area and having level seating out of that area as well. At this point, it isn't a specific remodeling proposal, but it could be added, it could be held off till later. Could never
be. Probably should be held off till later unless we want to add a lot more parking.
Yeah.
When we got 100 people, did that include chairs on the stage?
No.
Well, there's
always that. Yeah.
But that was the people we really
had. Yeah.
That's when we started 100 and we had.
Oh, we have them.
Yeah, we had.
Oh, it didn't include chairs.
We had 125 chairs in this building, I mean, in this floor, and about 20 or 25 chairs up on the stage.
As part of that.
So 125 chairs is most I know we had set up, including the stage.
Can you tell us about the windows? I see we've got new windows in the office and the vestibule. I'm guessing that where the kitchen would be would contain the windows that are already there.
I think we'll just look at new windows in the kitchen area too. It would be nice to have a little more openness of the atmosphere. But yes, the windows in the office area would be full height as much as we can take advantage of the south and the westerly side.
How about the washrooms then?
There's no need to have a window there. We can provide skylight in that area too to get some daylight in there.
That's
a
concern.
So. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, right now we're currently having a coffee table and everything out in the lobby, and I'm wondering if there was something in here about pass-through or something from the kitchen.
There's a pass-through from the kitchen to this room for that purpose, and there's still a space in the lobby that if you want to have a table set up there for any function that will work out too. But I think once you change your habit of having that pass-through and the kitchen up here and the service up here for coffee, I think you'll probably do it right here.
Is this an all or nothing package? Are there ways to select out portions of it?
As Jack spoke earlier, he said that we had been given some criteria, and the criteria were put together, and this is a solution to that criteria.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us what the packages are that are here?
As far as the dollar values?
No, if we wanted to scale this down somehow,
right.
We said we can't go the whole thing. What are our alternatives then?
It becomes very limited with the program requirement again, because I think the office was an outgrowth of saying we have some space left over after we put all the things in order that we're talking about that are prioritized, such as the kitchen, such as the toilet, such as leveling off the floors, such as changing the entryway. Once we have those three things identified, there was then room for the office space that was the office conference area that was just a small room and has a chimney in it, by the way, too. It's about a 13 by 13 room that we're identifying with there, so it isn't a very large space to stay unless we bow or eliminate. So we're marginal, really, with everything that has been asked for with this particular building.
I wonder if it would help if I read the 12 criteria.
Yes.
That was passed way less than spring meeting 1986 and reaffirmed several times. These were not in any prioritized order, but just the criteria that have been set up and reaffirmed since then. free up present kitchen and uninterrupted RE room. Small restroom and kitchen area and basement. Kitchen upstairs with pass through to meeting room. Two restrooms upstairs, handicap accessible. Court room upstairs. Office space and entrance wing area, if possible, to allow larger meeting room. Handicap entrance to building. Level floor between areas. Aesthetics and design should be considered. Solar orientation and natural light should be considered. Design must bear in mind possible future addition to the building. Finally, the 12th one, not in order necessarily, incorporate front porch area over heated storeroom. Those are the criteria that the architect was presented with. And then, of course, the various stages.
Suppose we wanted to stay inside the present perimeter. We might be able to do that by cutting out the office and making the kitchen a good deal smaller, like, say, the First Society kitchen. Do you think we could do it?
No.
Do you think it'd be feasible to stay inside the perimeter?
No, the answer is no.
Let me stand right here. If you're going to do that, then we are, in a sense, saying to accommodate the space we're talking about that we're building outward. I would see a wall that's going right across here and see a kitchen, in a sense, be over here and maybe a small office over here, maybe an 8 by 10 size. And then look at the rest of the room you have here. And then we can remodel the toilets, leave more where they're at, and leave the entryway with a little bit more of a leveled portion to it. But that's the trade-off you have for this level. Okay,
to go back to my question, though, I asked if this was an all-or-nothing package, and you said it wasn't, that we could do just pieces of it, and then I asked, what are the pieces that we can do, and I didn't get an answer.
Okay, well, again, the pieces that you can do are, again, as I just mentioned now, that we can go ahead and bring the kitchen up here and not build outward, but do that internally here. But the trade-off is losing the meeting room space.
Okay, but we could use the stage. We could take the stage out and the office and use that area. So we would probably be about the same size that we are now.
Except we lose that stage, which we do use on occasion.
They can. You won't have that with the new plan if you do the remodeling as we're proposing here. Again, I hate to lean on the code all the time, but the way the code is written for the handicap, it does state that if you have accessibility to the main floor or to a primary floor, and the primary.
You're more concerned with right standing the rules.
No.
You
got to balance it.
Required to provide handicap accessibility to a lower level, up to a certain size of building, and that certain size of building becomes about 20,000 square feet. Then at that point, you're involved with a total internal circulation requirement for either elevator or the like. For what we have on this particular floor level, and as the way the state code interprets the needs, the requirements are such that you can provide to bring people in, or must provide bring people in, on a primary floor, or in our case, this main floor. And that would be the limit of the handicap accessibility.
Then why did you folks protest this answer? Are you very eager to get handicap access to this?
If you would like to have handicap accessibility, you have the right to do that. And there are a number of ways of doing it. One way is to buy a approved rail that will take you up and down the stairs, and there are some limiting factors on what you can or can't do with that rail application. The second is to buy a lift, which is a wheelchair lift that will get a platform on top and be self-operating to bring somebody down below. And of course, the third would be an elevator. Yes, ma'am.
I would like to make a comment. I know somebody belongs to First Presbyterian Church on O'Donnell Road, and I had been talking to this individual about a lot of the remodeling that they did to get the people, their handicapped people, down on the lower floor, and it is anything but reasonable in cost. I mean, it's a good idea for somebody who's lived with a handicapped person. I mean, I'm sensitive to this, but given the restrictions on money, I think that right now, that is a dream.
Well, there's a seat you can buy.
Well, nobody gets
there.
That's what he meant.
But that's what he's talking about. But then that's also limited use. It depends on the straightaway that you have, there's more work that we have to do there.
You have a much wider stair.
Yes, but I mean, you need a wider, there are restrictions for the width of the hallway that you must have to accommodate wheelchairs and that's what you do.
Look, may I interrupt for just a moment, please? It's going to be a long afternoon if we start talking between ourselves. Address it to here, and then afterward, when we break up, we can ask any question we want, look at this. But if we start talking between ourselves, it's going to be bedlam.
You have $8,000 down for kitchen equipment. Can I assume that that means new stoves and sinks for the kitchen upstairs and then that small little serving area downstairs?
I'm going to qualify that. We're going to say that, yes, it'll be new equipment and new counters, but we've got to put it into a budgetary type. We can't just say, gee, we'd like to have a 25 cubic foot refrigerator when we know within our budget we have something that might be 16 or 18 cubic foot. So we've got to say, the qualifier on here is, within restraints, we have $8,000 for kitchen mount countertops, cabinets, and then that little item that we have.
Yeah, but is there any reason why the current stove and refrigerator cannot be incorporated into new kitchen appearance?
If they can, then that would be dollars that would be taken out of this category. So we're not saying we're spending this money, we just kind of budget the dollars for something that would be along the way here. So,
This is a question to either Jack or Rick or Mary. What I'm hearing here are two types of questions. One set of questions that really are things that could be resolved amongst the membership at another time, and then questions that have to do with your plans that we need you to answer. And I'm wondering if there isn't someone who can kind of moderate so that we are not dealing with those membership type questions and wasting your time with those.
Oh, you're not wasting my time. It's just a matter of having everybody understand some of the details.
Yeah, but questions like whether we can use a new stove or an old stove, I think is something that we want to talk about among the membership,
know,
but I don't
include it.
We'll get her first.
Where is the outline of the present porch on this? I mean, the dotted line, I understand, was the
enclosed area, yes. The dotted line of the porch, if you see the stairs that we have shown on that drawing, if you just were to take a line right across that, that was where we were looking. Yes, sir.
I realize you haven't looked at remodeling to this room at all, but you did mention that if we were to stay within the current building envelope, the kitchen and office would probably have to be somewhere in this room.
Could be here, yes.
If we put those across the back, do you have any idea what it would cost us to tear out the stage and office wall and replace that with level floor?
It is a level floor under there.
Yeah, the floor is level there, and to tear that out, I think you're looking at a few hundred dollars to take that. And when I said, using this as an example for a kitchen, the reason why I put it over there either, because we're space-wise here or there, it may even be better to be located over there from the accessibility standpoint of coming in and out of the main room here, and then having that for service and backup and potlucks and where you have with that operation.
So how much was that going to be if we did that, take out the stage?
Just to take that out, and I'd say just demolition, I'm guessing at this now, I'm trying to think in terms of a couple of people getting a handle on this, and maybe Tom could have a better handle on this one too, but I'd say you're looking at about, probably to take that wall down, the electrical that we have in there, I don't think we're going to be modifying any heat. You might have $400 to $600 probably of labor time to do that. And then we've got to do something back again with the walls to at least correct them more of the floor in here. So there might be another $300, $400 that could be wrapped up with that.
Well, I think we got to do more than that even. We have to do something with the present bathrooms because they're on a different level. And one of our goals here is to make this elderly and handicapped easily accessible. So we're going to be spending money out there. We're going to be spending money on basement floors and elevations. And it just seems like, for cost effectiveness, that seems like the place to put it. Instead of in here readjusting all this and building walls in here and getting down on our overall space.
Yes, ma'am.
What is the present rate of increase of construction in general per year now? I mean, how much is it going up?
3%, 4%?
Well, I haven't been seeing it rise too much. I think it's been pretty stable. In fact, we're probably right now looking at
$1,982.
Wow.
What I wanted to say was, I think we're talking in terms of our group and our particular minimum requirements. And I'm wondering whether you've addressed the idea that perhaps we should be thinking a little more in terms of scalability in the future. I mean, you get a plan that's so narrowly structured and so carefully done, piecemeal, to save a few bucks here and there in order to make just our minimum requirements. And doesn't that affect the saleability if we decide that later we do want to outgrow the building and sell it? I mean, isn't there something to be said for a full package that meets codes and is
There is, but I think the general feeling that I'm getting here today is that if we are building outward and that's causing us to give up parking, then maybe there's some other remedial things to do internally that we can do to solve the problem, and what are they? And I think that's kind of the walkthrough that we're going through right now, just to get a handle on that.
One of the problems that's out on the other area is that we need to remove the roof in order to get the level floor, is that correct?
That's right.
So in effect, if we were to talk about building a kitchen in here in addition to doing that major structural remodeling out there, the cost total package may be very similar. If we kept the existing walls out there and did something in here in the way of a kitchen as opposed to expanding those walls, mm-hmm. and keeping the construction in one area, would it be a similar cost package?
Similar. We've got some extension of plumbing that we're identifying with. And the fact that all the plumbing is right there, it would be a logical thing to pick it up and just work it in that side of the building. So we'll lose some ceiling space down below, the classroom space, because of the plumbing runs around. Yes, ma'am.
I have to leave, and I just want to if I can just leave some impressions. I worked intimately with children in this building for a year and a half as RE director and also upstairs.
And many years as teacher.
And many years as Sunday school teacher. And I want to commend you, Mr. Solner, for the very fine job you've done of meeting the 12 criteria our board gave you. I think this is a highly creative and cost-effective way to make our building more humanely accessible to the children who use it as well as the adults, and I'm really delighted.
Thank you. I think in answer to your question, I think that's what we try looking at, is saying that if we were to do these things, then we've got a pretty saleable building if there was a case for that in the future. Yes, sir.
Well, I also agree with that. I think you've done a really good job with the requirements that you've been given, but it's not clear to me why the cost of putting the kitchen and bathrooms somewhere in the existing structure is going to be roughly the same cost as putting them out there. Because there are two major things that I see as being costly changes in the present plan. One is that we're going to have to be building out beyond the dotted lines out there, and that's quite a bit of construction that has to be put in. It seems like that's a considerable cost, unless that is additional cost if we don't decide to put it within the existing dimensions. And the other factor that seems to add considerably to the cost when we use the present plan is the possibility that we have to put in this parking lot because we're going outside of the perimeter. And I don't know whether we resolve that controversy about whether or not we do have to put in a parking lot or don't have to put in a parking lot, depending upon whether we're enlarging the perimeter or grandfathering and those kinds of things. But if there's a possibility that we do get grandfathered and we don't have to use up our prairie out there for a parking lot, then I think that there's a $9,000 savings right there, plus a good many thousands of dollars involved in enlarging the perimeter here. It would seem to me that if we can use that space for a kitchen, bathrooms in the back, and that's going to be going to space which is hardly ever used right now on occasion, that we're talking about a good deal lower cost than $58,000.
Well, we've got to put all new plumbing in over here.
You've got some
back. The skin back behind us. The plumbing lines are here. There's nothing back here.
When we look at the kitchen there or here or there, we're saying we're going to provide the plumbing, the electrical, the heating, ventilation that's required, the wall construction, window areas, whatever we need for floor finishes, wall finishes. All these just add into the cost of it. And if we're looking at a dollar value to put a full equation on this, yes, maybe building internally here might be slightly less to do that. What's slightly less, I can't say right now without really taking a look at everything we have in here.
Yeah. I think one thing has to be a couple things. One, maybe because I'm a grandfather, we should take with a grain of salt and to the interpretation that I got down there. It could be the town or Ed would know better as to the parking thing. Secondly, when we gave this to our criteria to Ed, there's nothing said about this room at all. Obviously, then, he did not explore it because this was not one of the criteria. Criteria was handicap and RE. That is not to say, however, especially being Unitarian, that we can't change our mind to add something else. But after pretty much a year of discussion, we have to be very careful before we start changing the criteria. And I understand that now, because of the expense involved, the proposal has been put out here, which is worth considering, putting something in here and taking the floor out there, retaining pretty much, hopefully, the same area for the parish, for the adults that we have now. And that's worth considering, provided the expense of plumbing and an entrance is going to have to be kind of come around and that kind of stuff. So that's fine. And the purpose of this meeting is to raise these kind of questions. The decision is not being made today as to what we're going to do. It's simply raising it and from here, go on.
I think what you're all saying is to the building committee to consider these things so that we have some way of putting a value on these areas.
I would really like for us to really strongly consider keeping this room the size it is, because I think that if we are looking at any growth, we need this space for our adult program. We really do. We're getting a little extra space downstairs that's really going to help out down there with the kids and help uncramp some of our activities there. And I think we need to really do that for ourselves up here too, in terms of keeping the space. One other thing connected, I think that in terms of the handicap, I think that having the kitchen upstairs will really enable people to participate fully in our program. Mm-hmm. If we end up having to have a classroom upstairs, if there is a group that has a child who can't be taken upstairs and down, or the children generally, we've been able to help kids get up and down if they needed to, that office would provide an alternative classroom too for a handicapped child and that class, and they could do a lot. You know, I mean, it may not be ideal, but they certainly could use that. Now, I think there's a lot of potential.
Yes, I was wondering, how much more would putting the parking underground be?
Bill, start working.
How many 100,000 do you have?
I think somebody said here you don't want to know. No, it's costly. I would say that you know, you're looking at probably $3,000 to maybe $6,000 a car.
Well,
I just wanted to add to what Eileen said about this room and the size of it, and ask you to visualize a wall where the last post is between the windows. Even though we do not physically use the floor space up there, that contributes to the feeling of the space of this room. And if we were to put a wall, cutting 1/4 of it off, it would feel like a much smaller room.
That's right.
I would like to make a suggestion similar to the one I made before. We authorized the expenditure of somewhat $1,500 or so to have the architect develop some plans based on the criteria that the group has given the committee. The architect has done this, and he has submitted the plan. And the purpose, as I see it, of this meeting is not to discuss whether we want this room changed, but to ask questions about the plan that he has developed. When we take our answers to this back to the committee or the group as a whole, and we have a chance to discuss whether we want to accept this plan, I think that's the time when we look at the answers and then say, okay, do we want to do this or don't we? If we don't want to do it, then we can talk about cutting off this room and building bathrooms somewhere else. I think this plan is the topic of this meeting, and I really would like to stay on that track.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to echo what Pat's saying, and along those same lines, Lance and I went through construction of a garage where we had to go to the city for an appeal because they were requiring us, the code said we had to go to a garage so many feet back from the property line.
Well, two-story garage?
And we went to the City Board of Appeals, developed plans and costs based upon leaving it where it was, and they did a survey of our neighbors and all that, what they're proposing here. Went to the City Board of Appeals, no problem at all. I'm just saying, I think we should do like Pat saying, go along with these plans and change it if the City Board of Appeals does not grant us an appeal. If we decide we don't want a parking lot, which sounds like it might be the same possibility, to then change our plans or reconsider them if we don't get the appeal granted. Because we had very good luck with it, we were all worried about it, oh no, we're not going to be able to do it, and it was just a breeze.
There's a rubber stamp.
I wanted to say that one of the things that Wright stated in the goals, and I think is come out as a goal, is to retain as much of the grass in the outside as we can without a hard surface. Okay, and so I'm thinking that we're shifting the orientation of the entrance in this plan to this way. Therefore, we don't need an entrance from the east. If we didn't have a sidewalk and steps from the east and had it oriented out to the front or even to the west, we could retain a lot of grass. It may mean cutting off some of what's to the west of us or to the back of the parade, but we gained the area out front if we took out the sidewalk and everything there.
Those studies will bring that about as we get a site plan.
And other than the handicap spot, that's a potential place for parking as well.
And I really think that given the difficulties we've had here with the parking and the buses and everything like that, I don't know how much of a problem it would be in the neighborhood. They may like us to have off-street parking. And I knew it would probably be a requirement, if we had to go beyond. But I think in terms of our needs and what we need for ourselves, the plan to expand the boundaries out like this is a reasonable one. If we could look at, in terms of the site plan, how much of the outdoors we can keep without having hard surfaces.
Well, we'll make some studies like this too before we do anything. We'll get before the city and talk to them as far as the preliminary review, and then get back again, I think, with the group here. Yes, sir.
Strictly a technical question. I would like your permission to reproduce these drawings in our newsletter, which is your presence.
Yeah, sure. Yes, sir.
I want to thank you for doing an amazingly wonderful job with that crazy group, and keeping you cool up there as we go crazy even further. I would like to suggest to all of you that I've often thought it would be a great idea if we could have some parking around. And I too am one who likes to preserve green area very much. But as I see it, if we have a parking area out here and an entranceway that goes this way, we should get rid of our sidewalk going down that way. Of course, since it's going to end up into the building and not go anywhere, and all of that will be green area to play in too. We've got to think that way. This whole sidewalk along here is going to be green. I see some steps going down that way in the drawings, but I don't understand why they would be there. That's why I think we could preserve both of those things and still get parking. And I do think the neighbors would all rally for us to have a parking lot.
Yes.
I really sure
don't get that.
You could tear a center area up and have a nice green area for a lot of purposes out there. I should say that in part that the building committee is looking for a number of things. They're looking at when they're done with a particular program to have 100% of support with what's happening here, and I think we can all achieve that by just listening and working toward that goal, both in the planning process, the green process, and also the dollar process.
Thank you, Rick. Very, very much.